order the Cure Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. I'm sure, as everybody knows, we have a 6 o'clock special meeting that was announced. So let me go ahead and read the announcement for the public hearing. It says, Cure Beach Planning and Zoning Commission will hold a special meeting on Wednesday, February 4th at 6 o'clock, prior to the regular monthly meeting scheduled for 7 p.m. Purpose of this meeting will be to meet with the Shoreline Access Beach Protection and Parking Committee, still known as SLAP. And we do have members here for SLAP. And the Citizens Advisory Committee, and again, we have the chairperson of the Citizens Advisory Group here, as well as some members, to discuss parking on Highway 421, Fort Fisher Boulevard. Cure Beach Community HOA presidents will be notified about this meeting via email. The meeting is open to public, and all interested persons are encouraged to attend and give their input. Again, so we have about an hour as our special meeting prior to our regular scheduled meeting. So, you know, obviously the issue here is to talk about some of the problems of parking on 421. It started off as a discussion about a specific area on 421 in terms of some crowded parking and rental properties that ended up parking on 421. We got some information about what sort of abilities the town has to regulate parking on the state highway. We'll talk about that in a second before we hear any comments. And then it kind of expanded based upon the direction of the town council to look at all of 421 and hear and basically have an open public hearing regarding some of the issues that might be on people's minds and possibly some solutions to problems on 421. So just very quickly, when we started to get concerned as to what sort of things the town could do to regulate parking on 421, a state highway, some members of the Planning Commission did contact the state. It appears that we have a lot of ability, basically, that we can regulate. We could just advise them once the town has an ordinance, a specific ordinance about parking on 421 as to no parking or allowable parking in certain areas, that we can actually just simply advise the state and that signs will be put up and they will support that. So it appears that we do have a lot of authority to be able to regulate parking on 421. And again, that's why we're here. Once we found that there is authority to regulate parking, that the town council wanted to have a public hearing and also get the members of SLAP and the Community Advisory Council together with the Planning and Zoning. Now again, the town council made it quite clear that ultimately the recommendation is to come from the Planning Commission. So we have all the members here as well as anybody who does want to speak about this particular issue. And of course, we don't have to come up with any recommendations or conclusions tonight. We can certainly have more meetings or more discussions related to this. So with that, I don't want to take any more time because we do want to kind of limit this to about a 1 hour period. We've got seven people signed up, so I thought it would be good to just have the folks come up and, again, state your name. We have Bill Moore, Deborah McKenna, Tom, and I apologize, I can't read the last name. Then Al Woodall, Mary Stevens, Richard Van Ham, and Jonathan Perrotto. So the first person to sign up is Bill, and so, feel free to, maybe keep it to about 3 minutes, per...
That would be a long speech.
Okay. Great, I appreciate it.
My name is Bill Moore. I live in Ocean Dunes, Unit 2003, Cure Beach. I'm the president of the Ocean Dunes Homeowners Association. And our group was requested from the town, and we started a lot of this movement, that we have parking limited right on the sides of the street and just forbid it. We know it can be done, because as you said, the state will allow you to do it. We're having issues with it, with people parking there. I would even say you have parking lots down there. For example, right by my unit, there's a public parking right across the street. People ignore it. At best, it's half full during the peak season. They just park along the street. It causes problems for us because sometimes they're running over irrigation systems that are out there watering plants. And it's an issue for us. They will not honor just the public entryways. They come through the other entryways because that happens to be where they park their car. And so it's an issue for us, and we'd like the town to address it.
Okay. Just a real quick question, and you mentioned they damage irrigation. Are they parking on your private property, or are they parking on the public roadway.
You have a right-of-way of about 45 feet from center lane. And they're parking on the public property. They come in so far, we have right on the edge of our property irrigation lines that water the big trees and whatever else. And they're actually coming in, they're offloading on it, they're stepping on it. Some of them may not be in full capacity when they're driving away and they run over them. Pick an issue. But it's destructive to our things. We spent about $5,000 this year repairing irrigation systems that part of the period that people were running over them, etc. So we do have an issue, and we expect the town to address it.
Okay. That empty lot, that parking lot, is it clearly labeled? Free parking?
Public parking. Right across the street from the public entry between our 19 and 20 building.
A reasonable person could discern that it is free parking. Okay.
It's got a big white fence that has public parking on it, and it probably will hold, I would guess, maybe 15 cars plus. And I've never seen it full, and I've been down here in that unit for about 10 years.
Justin, it's 1342.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Deborah.
Hi, my name is Debbie Kenna. I'm a resident of Seawatch. Much the same concerns that were already stated. We have a limited amount of space on Fort Fisher. We have the congestion from the cars. We're fear that we're going to have more problems with the safety of bicyclists, which is also an issue on Fort Fisher Road right now. In addition, as you stated, they are breaking the irrigation or the sprinkler heads on private property. You can actually also see ruts in the grass sometimes by the way they decide to pull out. I'm not quite sure what the plan would be to restrict the hours of parking, so if it rolls into dusk, that's something that's going to be more difficult for the bicyclists. And also, it increases the traffic in our neighborhood, which we already have problems with vandalism and people going into showers, trying to use private beach accesses. I think this is going to increase that. That's really about, and aesthetically, it's very unappealing to see all these cars just piled up along the side of the road. Thank you.
Okay. Did anybody have any questions? Deborah? Right. Well, thank you. Tom.
Up down the street, it gets so bad. No one can ride through there anymore. Every street in this town, triathlon, everything, getting bad. And this last weekend, really bad. No one couldn't go downtown hardly. Had to go down all side streets. And it's getting ridiculous. I hate to say this, but it is. My sister tried to get through there on Sunday, come to my house. It was still bad. It is getting to where everybody, I'm getting fed up with it. Very seriously, I'm getting fed up. And it needs to be addressed. It needs to be stopped whenever. And it's getting so bad, no one can go through town anymore. Up and down the whole street, it's been full. And when we had to react, no one could get out. Whole street was full. I went through there Saturday. It was full. Could not get through. Had to put on all the side streets to get home. Even Sunday, trying to get to church. It was still bad. And it's getting ridiculous. Okay. I need to put an ordinance to stop this.
Thank you, Tom. Great. Al. My name's Al Woodall. I also live at Ocean Dunes with Bill, and I got a feeling I'm the one who started this ball rolling. And I've probably been here, you're probably tired of me being here, but just to elaborate a little bit on what Bill was saying, we clearly are having irrigation broken, at least to the extent of $5,000 a year. We've had people urinating on the fence out beside the road. We even had a female come in and strip down in our showers, and we can make jokes about that, but it's not helping our property values, I can assure you of that. Holidays are obviously worse than normal days, but it's become a real issue for us. People are climbing over the fence, jumping the fence. They don't care what they do if they knock something down or break something. It's not theirs. It's fun and games, and it's a real problem for us because they not only are entering into, walking into our area, using our showers, at the end of the day, they decide they want to pull into our area to pick up all their belongings and their kids. And we've had confrontations, and sooner or later, something physical is going to happen. So I'd just like to avoid that. It's a real issue for us.
We've had two people from Seawatch here. If, as a hypothetical, as this came up in conversations with town council and everything, if we were to say no parking there, yeah, wouldn't it just push the problem down to other communities?
Back into the neighborhood? Push it back into the neighborhood?
Well, I've had some of the neighborhood people comment about it already, that they're already parking on, we're on the beach side and on the other side, about people coming into their streets and parking there as well. It seems to me that, as Bill said, they're not even taking advantage of the public parking that's available to them now. They're doing whatever's easier. That's the way we see it. Is it going to push people into other areas? Well, there are no parking signs along the bike path as you go north from us. We'd like the same. No parking.
Now, do you legitimately think that having no parking is going to keep people from either jumping the fence or urinating or undressing?
Yes, I do. I believe if the parking is enforced and tickets are given, I understand from the chief that tickets are $50. That adds up pretty soon. People aren't going to want to pay the $50 to park. They're not going to park there. It may take some time. But
they're going to park somewhere. Even if they park in the public lot, they're going over to the beach. They're coming back through your area.
Well, that's a start.
May I respond to that?
Yeah. The problem is not only that, but the town, you have about 5 entrances that belong to Curie Beach Republic. We have another 7 because they're parking along the entire line. They're coming in any entrance, the closest one they're at. We've had to put fences and locks on some of them to stop some of the damage and to keep people from going through there and wrecking things. And if they're limited to parking, even just in that parking lot, it flows them into public access, and I can live with that. That's fine. But when they're going into other areas and parking where they don't belong and destructive, something has to be dealt with.
But Bill, if they park in every cul-de-sac across from Ocean Dunes, that they're going to be walking 50 feet further, but they're still coming across all up and down from those cul-de-sacs. So they're not going to be in your grassy area, but they'll be across the street, not just in that public area. I'm just wondering, are you going to be able to alter the behavior just by moving them 50 feet further away?
You have a lot less parking, for one thing.
That's true, yeah.
For two things, at least we're not trying to keep people off the beach. There, as Bill said, there's public access various places. So as long as they're not parking right beside us and going right through our private property, we have no problem with it. That's what we're trying to prevent. They're just not honoring our property. They care less. And you know what? I think back about when I was 25, I would have done the same thing. You know, all of us probably would have. We're just trying to prevent it.
But is pushing them across to, how many cul-de-sacs are there? 8, 10 cul-de-sacs? Pushing them to park in the cul-de-sac and the closest proximity to the beach is one of your walkways. Are you going to be able to get them to jog down to the camera walkway?
It remains to be seen.
It does, yeah.
At least it's a start. And perhaps they shouldn't be allowed to park there either.
And in many cases in a cul-de-sac, there's not a lot of space to do street parking.
Yeah, there's multiple driveways.
Yeah, the driveways eat up a lot of that space. There may not be any spaces to do any parking anyway. But part of the operation is enforcement is as critical as putting the signs up.
Sure.
Don't put them up if you're not going to enforce it.
what I would suggest is, and we have three other people that want to speak, and this is a great conversation. This is exactly what we want to have, but I want to, you know, make sure that we get through the few people that have signed up. So let's go to Mary next.
May I just add one thing that we haven't said, and the other issue becomes when people park out there with children, they're letting them just get out on the street side, and we've seen some close calls from cars having to stop short and hit the kids, and that truly is an issue.
Okay, Mary.
I'm Mary Stevens. My family had a house down near the Lutheran Center for about 35 years, so we've seen a lot of change in this little town. We are in the older part of town, and I know several years ago it was discussed having paid parking on Fort Fisher. It was probably more down near the pier, but please keep in mind that some of us in the older part of town do not have driveways. Well, some of us are still in original Curie Beach barracks cottages down here. So please do keep in mind that some of us do have to park on the street. And also, right across from us is a very large new home that is most of the time vacant. When it is occupied, it's usually by renters. There are two single garages with very short little single driveways. When the house is rented, which it's rented more often than the owners are over there, there are like five and six cars for these two little very short driveways. And there are cars all over everywhere. They jump up over the curb to get up into the other area that I guess they think they're supposed to be parking there, but there's not a curb cut for them to get through. So they stop traffic. And we have seen numerous very close accidents. You know, people be driving down Fort Fisher from either direction, and then all of a sudden these people just stop trying to figure out how they're going to get into this place since there's not more than these two little driveways cut for them. So for the future, that's something maybe to be considered. You know, how much parking there really is for these large rental homes that are being built. Like I said, there are two garages. The garages are never open unless the owners are there. Anytime the house is rented, the garages are closed. So there's just room for two cars to easily park, but there's very often five and six cars up there.
In fact, just so everybody knows here in the audience, we are also addressing exactly that. One of the things that we're talking about developing, we're not having a public hearing tonight, is a rental certificate. And part of that rental certificate process, we'll be looking at the parking issue associated with that. So, you know, that's exactly one of the things that we're looking at. It's not what we're looking at tonight, but you know, we are aware of that problem and trying to address the problem again with the advice of the town council.
All right. And like I said, we've had this house for 35 years. My husband and I live in town now, up in Wilmington now. The rest of the family does not, but they all come. I mean, this is the family gathering spot. And so please keep in mind whatever ideas y'all come up with. Some of us do have families from out of town that come use the houses too. So even though my husband and I have a Curie Beach sticker on our car that proves we are property owners, the rest of the family doesn't. So if you could just kind of keep that in mind too, something to prove that, yes, hey, I belong here without having to pay an extra fee.
Thank you. Richard.
I'm Richard Banham. I live in Seawatch also. Pretty much the same thing. The Fort Fisher issue, we've had an issue for a number of years. It extends all the way down from Curie Dunes in front of our neighborhood. As Deb said earlier, we've had problems with irrigations being torn up, people parking there. We've also had problems with people parking there overnight. And that goes back to what you just said about rental properties, where you have houses and you got a five-bedroom, six-bedroom house, and you've got 10 people staying there, and they all bring their own car. And, you know, that's a natural place when you're oceanfront. You don't have any place to park. You park right across the street, and the cars are there all night. So, and sometimes you have them on both sides of Fort Fisher at the same time. also, what you were talking about earlier to one of the other gentlemen, you know, I don't know what the solution is for the Fort Fisher, but I do feel that it will drive parking back in the neighborhood. And we've already got a tremendous issue in our neighborhood because we have lots of cul-de-sacs. In the summertime, you can come down on Horseshoe and cars are parked all the way around. They're coming across the our walkway, even though there is public. And they're going to go to the closest walkway there is. And, you know, our neighborhood association just spent a tremendous amount of money to put locking gates up, you know, with key fobs for our neighbors, you know, to use our walkover. But that had to stop people from jumping over the fence and using the bathrooms and, you know, whatever else happens at night. And we have had vandalism problems. But going back to the other neighborhood issues, and especially in the summertime, you know, we have narrow streets, no sidewalks. You've got people parked on both sides of the road at night. And, you know, we have lots of children in the neighborhood in the summertime riding skateboards, bicycles. You know, it's an issue for kids, especially at, you know, dusk or night. Also, I would think of the issue for emergency vehicles to get back through there. When you've got cars on both sides of the narrow road, so, you know, you've got SUVs parked on both sides of the road, you've got a narrow thing. It's an issue. So I don't, you know, if you're going to address parking, I think it'd be good to decide to look at Fort Fisher, which is the immediate problem, evidently, to go a step further. And, you know, I don't even know if there is ordinances about parking in the neighborhood right now on the street. Because, as this lady just said, you know, you have small driveways in these houses, and you get eight cars parking in them, well, four in the driveway and four on the road. And they're there for weeks at a time, or if you got a vacant lot, that's another issue. You know, if you see vacant lots, it just becomes a parking lot in the neighborhood. And, you know, you come in on any weekend or during the week, and you can see, you know, several cars just pull up on vacant lots. And it's up to the owner, who bought them, may not even live here. They don't know, so they can't enforce it. And I don't know if the town enforces that or not, but I think that'd be something, in addition to Fort Fisher, safety reasons or whatever, you guys need to start looking at the parking on the road, especially overnight. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Thank you.
And Jonathan.
Was there anybody else signed up?
Jonathan. Okay.
Hi, Jonathan Prado, Sea Watch. I guess the only question I had is, if the policy is adopted that the fines would have some serious teeth, $50 fine I don't think is enough. Or telling. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else in the audience? Yes.
I'd like to talk as a citizen and not the liaison.
Sure. All right. Yeah.
Did you sign?
I did.
Okay.
I wrote the first rule. Craig Blazinski. I live at 509 North Fort Fish Boulevard. I know liaison to this fine group. I really want to talk as a citizen at this point in time. This fine group of people, all of us who live here, 2,500 of us during the winter, full-time residents. During the summertime, exploding to about 12,000, 10,000 to 12,000 people. I don't think as a resident, any of us want to shut down Curry Beach, but I do think as a resident, I expect the town leadership to manage the issue of our visitors. Managing the issue of our visitors, because we pay 100% of the infrastructure costs that they use, and we generate with that 100% of the infrastructure costs, 47% of the ROT money that comes back into, actually goes into the coffers for the county, and we get some of that money back. We have to decide what to do with the, I call them mini motels, that's not a good term. We have to decide what to do with the rental properties that put cars in the bike path. We have to decide what to do with 421 and be consistent along 421. Maybe some of it should have parking spaces, maybe some of it should. We need to make sure we have effective use of the parking lots, and that's why SLAP is here. We need to make sure that we are using our crosswalks effectively and that the crosswalk laws are respected and that we don't have near misses like we have, and that's something that the advisory group is looking into as well. And then we have what happens to the neighborhoods when you try to control the main thoroughfare. But we dialed this all up together. I think the smart men on this committee and the smart men on the other two committees, smart men and women on the other two committees, will come up with something that is feasible that we can take back to the town and get input. So the only thing that I would say is I expect us to figure out a way to manage it. And I expect us all to put ideas. All of us need to get our ideas into this group, into town council, into anyone. There isn't a bad idea. And there might be out of 100 ideas, there might be a combination of 5 that will solve some of these issues. The last thing we want to do, or I want to do, is fix 421 and create 8 other problems. Right? And that's why we have all of you engaged in this thing. So just wanted to say, we got a big task, and I also want to set expectations a little bit. This is a big task. If you expect that by May it's going to be dialed up and all clean, that's probably not going to happen. I don't expect it to happen that fast, right? So there's things to do, things to study, and I will help. Part of it because I have to, part of it because I want to, and I hope you all will help because you want to. And spread the word, get the ideas in, get them into the advisory group that Charlie has, get them into SLAP, and get them into, of course, Greg Galbraith, who's going to dial us all into a beautiful plan. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have to say.
All right, thanks. Just one quick question. You know, we've talked about the cul-de-sacs across from Sea Watch. Is there anybody here from the cul-de-sacs? From Ocean Dunes.
It's not necessarily just the cul-de-sacs. It's actually, because Sea Watch goes in a U shape.
Okay.
And there is on Seahorse, that is a sort
right.
of, that is a cul-de-sac. But they park along the road coming in from our main entrance. And that's a problem. I mean, they park on people's grass and break people's sprinkler heads there as well. And I understood, I had talked to Dennis at one time about parking on, you know, on the public roads through the neighborhoods, and he had actually said that there's an ordinance that you're not supposed to be able to do that, but it doesn't seem like that gets enforced. And so I was wondering, is that correct?
I actually checked on ordinances and parking. You know, I checked with the state, and again, this is something that, you know, one of our attorneys, either the attorney for the PMZ here or the town attorney, needs to clarify, I think. But I checked with the state, and the state has certain designated streets. And generally, if a street is a major street, it's designated either parking or non-parking. It says no parking, parking. There's parking spaces outlined and things like that. In more residential areas, these are what are called informal parking, where it is allowed, according to the state. I mean, unless it specifically says no parking, you can park on residential streets, and that is what's defined as informal parking. I checked our ordinances, and I didn't see anything that restricts informal parking on residential streets, on the non-main street sort of things. I have been told, and I'm not sure if this is true, but I have been told through the grapevine by folks in the police department that the town attorney has told the police chief that the town council has given him absolute discretion in terms of deciding about that. Now, I'm not sure if that's the case. I mean, I can understand it for safety reasons.
Right.
You know, that if somebody is blocking an informal parking, and it might be blocking a fire engine access or something like that. But I was told that he has discretion for all type of parking, where he could actually go in under the discretion, since it's not specified as parking or not parking on a residential street, simply say no parking.
Right.
For
that's
whatever reasons.
Really what he said. Yes.
I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not sure if the council would agree with that type of authority. But that's what I've been told. And that's one of the things we are going to have to check on, I think. Because my understanding is we don't have a specific ordinance other than maybe the discretion of the police chief to decide where and when parking could occur or not occur on a residential street.
Right.
and we're not even quite, I'm not even quite sure because I haven't found it yet or gotten a specific answer as to whether that discretion applies to anything or whether it just applies to simply safety type of issues, or even whether that discretion has been given to the police chief. So, you know, again, there's some issues that we need to follow up on there.
Right.
Do not some of your HOA bylaws say no parking in your...
Ours does not have it. Sure, by the sea, we don't have it in our...
Because that wouldn't affect Fox Street.
In Sea-Watch, the people that are parking in your residential area, are they renters? Most of them are renters?
Mostly renters.
Okay, not tourists.
No, but there are definitely tourists.
Well, on that instance, you could put a sign that said private community, residents only, on the outside. And if they do park there, it's good.
We've got signs in our common areas that say, because we had problems years ago with people walking dogs.
Yeah.
And we put a sign up that said, you know, this is a private blah, blah, blah. And that 50 cents. You know,
it's hard to, you're not going to stop people from coming to Kerry Beach on vacation. That's the problem.
Yes. I apologize. I completely misunderstood this. I thought I was coming to a meeting to listen, so I didn't sign up to talk.
If you want to talk, feel free to talk.
Yes.
You know, in fact, that's what we're hoping to hear, not us talking, but to hear what you have to say.
I'm Debbie Elliott, and I live in Sea-Watch, too. And we have contacted the town before to see if we could put up no parking signs, like along North Fort Fisher, because of such problems, and we were told, you know, we couldn't do that. But this is the first time, frankly, that I'm hearing that any type of on-street parking is allowed in our neighborhood. I thought that, like Joan said, that it was town ordinance that you could not park on the road. And we're always telling our residents and the residents who rent their homes to make sure that they nor their renters park on the street, particularly don't park on the street overnight. And I agree with everything everybody has said tonight. I think that parking is certainly an issue. And again, I don't want to shut down tourism either, but it seems awfully easy to park wherever you want to during the summer without any thought or consideration to the homeowners or their property values and their you know, the consequences. And my question to the town and to you all is, I'm just kind of curious what the philosophy is in the community, elected officials. Like Wrightsville Beach, we all know Wrightsville Beach, it's hard to park. And it's very purposely hard to park.
That's right.
And frankly, I mean, this is just me, I think it's very effective in that they still have a great business there, but their property values are very high. They really ticket you, and you know if you're going to bother to go over there for a nice day, you better go early, you better get a legal parking space, or you're going to be towed or get a stiff fine. And I'm just curious if whether the philosophy of our town is much more of a laissez-faire, hands-off, or do we want to be more concerned about what our overall property values are.
May I throw something in? We have a young guy that lives in Wilmington that's in charge of our maintenance at Ocean Dunes. And he and all his friends always say, go to Curie because we can park there. Yeah.
Of course.
Mr. Chairman, may
I ask a question? Okay, Charlie, sorry. What do you want?
I have a question for the last speaker. Do you have a homeowners association?
Excuse me? Was someone just talking to me?
Yes.
Yes, do you have a homeowners association?
Sea-Watch?
Excuse me? Yes.
Yes, I'm the president of the homeowners association.
What do your bylaws say?
Bylaws don't say anything about parking because our roads are public, so we can't govern public roads. All the roads in our neighborhood are public and maintained public by the town.
Okay.
So we don't have any type of leeway there, unfortunately.
If I can interject, I think one very important thing, and I've looked at the Kerry Beach Ordinance very, very carefully regarding parking, and we're having other people look at it as we speak right now. I actually was under the impression, I live in Kerry Beach Village, I was under the impression that we couldn't park on the street in there too. but people were parking it. So, you know, I'm not sure what the actual ordinances are or what the rules are in what would be described by the state as informal parking on residential streets. And this is parking on a residential street where you don't have a specified parking area marked out or whatever. I would like, if it's okay with the P&Z, is to ask our attorney to maybe look into that issue and see exactly what the rules are under the Curie Beach ordinance regarding parking on residential streets.
Chairman, can I comment?
Yes.
I'm the Jim Eldridge, I'm the PZC attorney. I agree. I thought it was interesting, the comments about Wrightsville Beach. But let me just speak real generally, and then the board can instruct me along the lines that I'm speaking. Number one, I think by general statute, you've got complete authority by ordinance to regulate parking, and you can, the town can regulate it as it wants, and this discretionary business can come off the table or speak. You have, the town's got a lot of authority to regulate parking on its streets in any way that it wants. Point two, Mr. Whitley found out that by working with the state, we can also regulate parking on state streets. I think it's probably a question of an encroachment agreement with DOT, which I'm sure is easily given. And then there's a third area, and they're called PPAs. Sometimes they're public vehicular access. Sometimes they're private vehicular access. And the concept of a PVA impacts the ability of a local government to regulate parking on privately maintained streets. It would be my recommendation to the board, to the commission, to have me prepare a very short memorandum of those three areas so that everyone is fully informed about what authority and power they have, and then you can begin addressing this all these global issues.
I think that's an excellent idea, but I would also like to have you look carefully at the Curie Beach Ordinance.
Yes, well, I mean,
and see what under the current regulations is allowed or not allowed. Because again, we look at it again, and it appears there's absolutely nothing in the Curie Beach Ordinance that would restrict parking on a residential street.
I've always
It's not, we can't find it, and maybe we're missing something, or maybe...
No, I think first of all, you're absolutely right. I meant to include that in my remarks. I think what we're dealing with are ordinances that need to be updated given all the changes in the past 10 or 20 years. I think that's where we're at.
Right.
And I think by ordinance, we can begin to solve these problems in phases or overall, whatever. But yes, I agree. We should... We should analyze what we can do in the code as it stands.
What's currently in the code, too.
Right. Look at the sources of authority that allow us to change what's currently in the code. Bring all that back to you, and then you all can, then you and council can decide on how to proceed.
I think it's excellent. I do have a question for John over there who's paying close attention. I don't know. And
just joking.
when a development is filed and the streets are laid out and it's filed with you, it's filed with the state, is there a parking, could you have restrictions on parking put in that filing that wouldn't appear in an ordinance but would be part of a like a land use or something like that as a, because I know we ask for parking issues sometimes.
Yes, they are part of the HOA documentation that's filed.
Well, how about for public streets? Not part of the HOA, but for public streets. Let's say when Curie Beach Village or any of these were built where you have public streets going through a HOA community.
Well, that's a good question. I was just wondering the same thing when Debbie brought it up a minute ago. Because
that wouldn't appear in
where I live, it's an unincorporated area, but it is a state-maintained road now. But we do have parking regulations in my neighborhood that restrict you from parking your car on the street at all times. So I'm not sure if because we're in a local municipality, that's why they can't be included in those HOA documents or not. But.
Chairman?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with this part of the town's land development code or UDO, whatever you all call it. But typically, a zoning ordinance would provide parking regulations and various land approval applications would have to show compliance with those parking regulations. And once development is, the conception of the development and the build-out of the development, one of two things happens. Either the, well, the streets, usually the zoning ordinances will say the streets are dedicated to public use, but that doesn't mean anything unless council accepts that dedication. If it doesn't at some point formally accept that dedication, they remain private. One of the towns I represent has a zoning ordinance that says if you're going to subdivide, or if you're going to do this, or if you're going to do this, you got to comply with this article, the zoning ordinance that lays out quite a bit of detail about parking. When a subdivision applicant comes in, one of the things he has to show is, number one, has he dedicated the streets, and until they are accepted, is there a maintenance agreement with the developer who will be responsible for maintaining those streets when they're private? HOAs, there's a little variation on that, so that's generally how it works.
So that actually raises even a different issue. One issue is that if a development is put together and there's public streets as part of that development, and even if it's accepted by the council, if as part of that development plan there was a restriction on parking, it wouldn't appear as an ordinance. It would appear as a restriction in that
HOA. In a covenant.
Well, it wouldn't be an HOA. No, because the HOA can't influence. It would be part of the acceptance of the land use map associated
with
that.
No, the approval of the land use application in and by itself does not constitute acceptance of the publicly dedicated streets. There has to be a separate council action.
Right. That raises a second issue. The second issue is whether the council has been following the process of accepting the dedicated use, the public use of these roads when, you know, again, there's a long history here in Curie Beach, and, you know, I'm starting to wonder if that's, as we start to look at some of these issues and whether parking's allowed in Curie Beach Village or your community or whatever, even though they're public streets, you know, what we need to do is make sure that, in fact, the council has officially accepted the public use of those streets.
Well, you always know what your public streets are by your PAL bill.
Yeah.
Okay. Every year you got to do a PAL bill.
Okay, well, that's probably okay.
There is, John, our streets have to be what width? Do you recall?
It's a minimum of 22 feet, I believe, of ordinance.
Yeah, still minimum of 22 feet of ordinance. And, I mean, I know at Sea Watch, the great concern at Sea Watch is you will not get the pumper through there if you have people parked on the street. I was wondering, because I know, John, the enforcement of parking and stuff like that belongs to a different department than you do, but I was just wondering if the width of the highways, if that provides any public roads, if that provides any discretion. Of course, you're saying you have all discretion.
Sometimes the zoning ordinance specify that the developer build and design those streets in accordance with certain DOT standards, and that compliance with that requirement is a condition for possible ultimate acceptance. Getting back to the chairman's suggestion about the assignment, is that something that the board wants me to take a crack at? About looking at the ordinance?
About looking at what our ordinance actually allows, doesn't allow,
and how to
what authority individuals or people have within this? Is that, you know, kind of maybe, and then provide a memorandum looking at that sort of thing? Because, again, I thought there was restrictions, but looking at our ordinance, I couldn't find any restrictions about parking on residential streets. And I did check the DOT standards, and even a 22-foot street has no restrictions that I could find for parking. So I was surprised when I spent last week investigating these issues, and I may be missing something, but I've looked at the DOT standards, and you know, a small residential 22-foot street, which, you know, that they define, allows informal parking on both sides.
There are some restrictions on parking at night and some other restrictions on the size of the vehicle.
Right, right. And proximity to other ingresses and outgresses. Okay, I mean, there are restrictions there, but in terms of, you know, I couldn't read anything about them. It would surprise me because I've been at other cities where there are restrictions for emergency vehicles where if a road is a certain width, it may be parking allowed on one side but not the other side. If it's smaller, you can't allow parking because you want to have, you know, the emergency vehicles get through. So, I mean, these are all raising very interesting issues that we need to answer before we come up with, you know, recommendations.
Absolutely. I feel certain the town can ordain what it needs, and I'll be glad to prepare a memorandum establishing that framework to work with it. Okay.
So let's find out what we can do and what we can't do first. Yes?
My name's Gary Blossom. First of all, I envy you. 35 years. We bought 35 weeks ago. So we're relatively new. I was an analyst for the government for many years, and it seems like what we're dealing with here are symptoms. We have a problem. One of the symptoms is human nature. I'm here on vacation. I can't go to the beach in my car, therefore I have to park it someplace. I'm going to park it someplace. It might cause damage, et cetera, et cetera. The cause, however, the root cause is, or the question is, do we have enough parking for, let's say, Memorial Day? For the 4th of July? If the answer is no, you can't fix the symptoms until the cause is fixed. And it just, it's like you can take all the aspirin you want to. If you've got appendicitis, you're going to die.
Like Greg said, we might get 10,000 people on a busy week. 10,000.
Okay. Do you have a facility any way in the world? And then until that's fixed or until that's at least addressed.
We are a small community. We don't have land that we can make into parking lots.
I'm not sure Wrightsville Beach has the symptoms.
Well, no, but they also have a reputation that I've seen already that most of the people think that they're really snobbish and put offish, and they don't like going there.
But when you put paid parking in, you are restricting. After paid parking is filled, people are not going to start coming down here. Matter of fact, SLAP did 4 parking studies for paid parking in the town of Curie Beach. All 4 studies were turned down by the commissioners. SLAP does the work. We submit it to them. They don't like it. Too much money, whatever the case may be. So we did 4 parking studies, and 4 parking studies were rejected.
Is there a fifth one on the way, or a sixth one on the right?
There's kind of a fifth one we're doing right now.
But until that is addressed, you're still going to have the people who are going to be coming here. I mean, I live in Maryland primarily right now. I saw an advertisement this winter for Carolina Beach. And I'm thinking, I'm coming down here to get away from Ocean City. And they're saying, come on down, it's really cool.
Absolutely.
And it's right. And if we don't do that, it's bad for business. But as long as people are coming here on that 10,000 person day, they want a parking place, they're going to get to the beach however they can, they'll climb fences, they've got sand in their trunks, and so they're going to take the trunks off when they're showering in those places they can't be. And unless you either have draconian enforcement on it, or...
You're right, absolutely right.
So that's just... Side
on. Just real quickly, you know, you're pointing out a problem that's endemic to every beach tourist community out there.
Sure.
You know, I'm from Southern California, from San Diego, and in that area, La Jolla. Well, a good example is Laguna Beach, out in Southern California. It's even worse than Wrightsville Beach. It has gotten so bad there that their parking ticket is not $50; it's $500.
Oh my.
That is their parking ticket right now, because they will get 100,000 people, you know, on a weekend. So these problems are endemic, and fortunately, it's a problem we have because it means we live in an attractive area where people want to come. So it's a fortunate problem versus an unfortunate problem. But as Craig mentioned, it's something that we do have to manage in a proper way.
There is.
I really would love for someone to
answer my question about philosophy, because if you're saying that you've prepared how many studies, and they've all been rejected by town council.
All different town councils now.
I'm guessing that the philosophy is we don't want to regulate parking.
They like status quo.
And as a homeowner, and what is supposed to be, you know, a really nice lifestyle beach community, I find that incredibly disturbing. And I feel like it's the responsibility of elected officials to make those tough decisions.
Well, I'd like to respond to that.
Let's have Alan first. And then.
I thought one of the reasons for the for them not going forward with the paid parking was because we don't have enough parking for it to be. It'll cost the town money for paid parking. Carolina Beach makes profit on their paid parking. They have the company manage it. The way I understood it, maybe I'm wrong, but the way I understood it, we don't have enough parking spaces in this town to pay for the parking.
So residents should pay the cost of that. We shouldn't have to suffer the cost of that, should we?
Well, here's the point.
But you move here knowing that you inherit there's going to be parking issues. I mean, that's, you live in the beach.
That's
one of the things you have to deal with.
Okay,
that's formerly there wasn't any way to make it pay. Formerly. There are other proposals which look like they could actually make it pay. The question is, what do you want your community to be like? I do know one thing. If you have a community that hasn't identified its parking spaces or how many there are, visitors will identify it for you. Right? And that's what's happening.
They just want so we park need to pay once they'll park right. In the neighborhoods and on the street, right. Unless that's not.
So we wow. Need to identify our parking. Then we need to understand how we will manage that parking.
Is that parking?
And then we move forward.
Before I get to your question or comment, to respond to your thing about philosophy, I think that's a very important issue. This is a planning and zoning commission. So as a planning and zoning commission, we're very interested in planning and anticipating problems and so forth. And you do get difference of opinions. I'm very strong on enhancing property values, making the area as attractive as possible, managing signs, managing parking, make it as pretty as possible because I think that enhances the property values. You have other people that may not agree exactly the same way. And that's exactly why we have meetings like this. It's very, very important because, just in the audience, you may have very different opinions too. And again, to the council, who ultimately has a final responsibility in making decisions, these are exactly the debates and the discussions that need to be presented. And I think all decisions have to be made in the context of this broader objective or strategy that you're talking about. And so I really do appreciate your comments. I think that's absolutely something that everybody needs to consider is what's the overall philosophy, and then we can find a plan to fit within the overall philosophy. So, yes, I'm sorry.
I think it was maybe around 2 years ago, I did come to a town council meeting where they were discussing the parking and they were discussing the paid parking on Fort Fisher Boulevard. And like I stated earlier, our family has to park on Fort Fisher Boulevard. We have no place else to park, but we are down in the older section of town. But at that point, from what I got from that council meeting is they did not want Curie Beach to have the reputation like Wrightsville and Carolina Beach have, where you have to pay to park. They wanted all the tourists with open arms come to Curie Beach. There's plenty of places to park. Everybody come. And I have a young son who lives up in town, and he honestly lives closer to Wrightsville, but he and his friends will come out here because they can park for free. But like you were saying, as long as everybody can park for free wherever they want up in the neighborhoods and everywhere else, they're going to come here as opposed to Carolina Beach and Wrightsville where you have to pay and you're limited for how long you can stay. But like I said, the last time I came to a town council meeting that paid parking was discussed, their opinion was we want everybody to feel welcome and everybody to come to Curie.
know, you raise another important issue, too, is that the population forecast for the Wilmington, the greater Wilmington area, is going to go up between 70 to 100,000 people in the next 10 years. We only have a certain number of beaches. The length of our beaches are not going to go up, and the parking situation here is simply going to go under greater pressure, you know, in the next 10 years. Again, the planning part of this commission is to look at exactly those type of issues. You're absolutely right.
Well,
yes.
I guess with the people that do come in for the day, there's also the looking at the issue of, you know, are they helping the economy of the town? You know, I think what a lot of the people do is come in, bring a cooler, you know, go to the beach, take showers in other people's, you know, yards, et cetera, et cetera, and get in their car and go home. So, you know, I see that, you know, maybe you're looking at it as wanting to help the economy of the town, but I don't really know that having all these people, you know, really do go to the restaurants and that sort of thing.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I think that with the parking and the decisions that the town ultimately makes about parking, I think that it should really look at economic drivers as well. To me, when you make people pay for something, the perceived value is higher. They're investing in their leisure time that day if they have to pay to park, even if they have to pay a small bit to park. They're investing in their day. I think that the people are going to be more likely to be more engaged in the community. I agree. I think that making everything so easily accessible, they're not necessarily spending money in our community. I think in anything, they're sort of draining, you know, the town's resources. I know that there needs to be balance. I'm not saying we need to be just like Wrightsville Beach, but there's certainly a balance there. Instead of being come on, come off, to, you know, having a drawbridge.
You're exactly right.
You know, the California example you used? I was out there last summer for a family wedding, and we went to one of those really nice beaches. We parked way out. We took an incredibly lovely trolley that was right there, took us to the beach. They were right there, took us right back. Didn't bother us a bit. It was a wonderful experience. So, I mean, there's all sorts of alternatives.
It is very expensive for the town of Curie Beach to maintain tourism in this town. Look at our pavilion. Look at our bathroom. Our public works people have to go there twice a day, and it's a total disaster.
And our bathroom is closed right now, so locals don't get the opportunity. Well,
there's a certain date that the bathrooms do open, but during tourist season, it is a problem.
Okay, I'd like to have one more comment, and then technically we're supposed to go 1 hour, and so I'd like to open up to the commission here. We can choose to continue the discussion tonight or whatever the pleasure of the commission is, or we could, you know, have another meeting or whatever. But, yeah, go ahead and say that, and then we're going to open up here and see what could be.
Well, I certainly don't have any kind of solution, but I do think that if we as a community are more clear that we respect ourselves and our property values, and I think you can encourage, I don't like to use the word train, but the guests on the island to do the right thing more times than not. There's always people that won't, but just like some things our committee does with the signs, with encouraging recycling and, you know, the cigarette butt dispensers. No, not everybody will use them, but people will see them, and they may use them. Their children will see them who are being brought up in the school system that smoking is dangerous and that you don't litter. I think doing things like that shows the guests on the island that we do care about our island, and hopefully we can encourage the people that come to visit to follow along with that and care also, and not... you know, but it's a process. If we continue to take the attitude of it's just too much to try and figure out, or, you know, then people will come and park wherever. You know, the guests that come to the island do have the opportunity to park in the beach accesses. And so it's not as though we're trying, even if we went to community parking at some point, it's not as though we're saying everyone has to pay. They do have the opportunity, and I would assume they would stay. Free, but I just think if we respect ourselves a little bit more with all of it and show the community and the guests that that's how we feel about it, you know, educate people that this is what our community expects, then we might have a pretty good reaction, I guess.
All right, I'm going to let the members of the commission ask questions or talk, and we, again, we've got to decide what we're going to do. You know, technically, this is when we said we would close the public hearing, but we can certainly make a motion and continue the public hearing, or we can close or whatever the choice of the council is. So, Alan, you have
Well, we all know it's not an easy issue, but when you talk about fines and you talk about not parking, you know, for 20 years I've been here, I've always understood that there was no parking on the street on private roads. The parking was on right away. We even had a building inspector back then who wouldn't allow us to put irrigation in the right way. Irrigation had to be on your property shooting out because those areas were parking. People could park on them. He wouldn't allow oyster shell because people wanted to deter people from parking on that property. So maybe there is an ordinance that says that it doesn't address it. I was always under the assumption that there was no parking on the public streets. The only problem with no parking on public streets is our police department's not going to use discretion on who they take. If they want to raise the fines to $200, that means your family that comes for the Sunday barbecue, when they ticket the tourists, they're going to ticket your family. They're not going to stop. If they're going to ticket someone on that road, they're going to ticket the whole road. So it's a slippery slope. So, you know, it's not going to be easy to come up with something to fix the problem.
I think it's really important to get Mr. Eldridge to complete his assignment on defining what's in the ordinance now. Give us that background. We've had a lot of comments. I've got 5 pages of notes. Get Josie's minutes, digest what's been said here. I don't see the benefit of extending it another half hour or an hour with Steve. I think we've got a lot of good data. And as Jonathan was talking, I was making notes about signs, fines, wheel lock, towing. And it goes back to Debbie's comment about what's the philosophy. And I think we do need to get back 30,000 feet and say, what is the philosophy of the town before we dive in and start fixing and doing the little fixes. Let's get a little bigger.
Comments?
There are, just for people's edification, 6 pages of restrictions regarding parking in the town of Curie Beach. Most of it are things you would think about, like no parking on the sidewalk, exceeding 22 feet in length, certain streets, no parking at any time. You know where the right down here where it says the police parking only? Well, they've got that in here, meaning none of y'all can park there at any time because that's police parking. So it's those types of restrictions that are in the 6 pages of parking. But
Mr. Aldridge will summarize that for us. Okay.
I think if no one else has anything to say.
All right, again, if we do close the public hearing here, we're not making any decisions now. This is just a public hearing to get the information. We'll certainly have other discussions, either separate hearings just for this particular issue and or during the regular meeting of the Planning Commission, and which are clearly open to public, and you know we'll have these type of conversations too. So I would suggest that if we do close it, and it sounds like that's where the motion is going to be, that you keep in touch with the public announcements and the webpage and just follow up and, you know, please come to these hearings. I mean, that's how we're going to make the best decisions, you know, hearing these type of hearings. And then, you know, when we actually come with our recommendations and go to the council, I will guarantee you one of the first questions they're going to ask us is, you know, is this what the public wants? You know, did you have public hearings? So it's very important that we do get this type of input. So. Yeah, we certainly do appreciate everybody coming here and, you know, excellent ideas and feedback. So, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Yes, I'm sorry. Can we have a motion directing Attorney Eldridge to do the research that you need?
Okay, and I'll make that motion directing the Attorney Eldridge to examine the ordinance for the town of Curie Beach, as well as any sort of state regulations or other sort of regulations. And write, and as well as define the discretion that people have including the police chief, as well as, you know, council in terms of regulated parking, and come back at our next meeting with a memorandum and a discussion of those sort of things.
I'll say that.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the special meeting.
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. If you want to stick around for a regular meeting, that'd be great too. But let's go ahead and take about a 5 minute break.
Are you serving dinner?
Do be here every first Tuesday. We
I think it's going to be